subject tonight that has been a subject of controversy in recent years. And I must say something that I want you to understand, and I'm not saying this in regard to no particular person, but I'm a pastor. I have been an evangelist, but I've always had a pastor's heart. I've always had a heart that reached out to people. The people had to face reality. We have to face facts as they are, and then we have to wrestle with them until God gives victory. I'm not here today and gone somewhere else next week. I'll be here next week, the Lord tarries, nothing happens, and the week following. So therefore, we have to face our issues and we have to deal with them. And you say, Brother Gorman, what's your subject going to be on tonight? It's going to be on prayer. But there's a controversy concerning some of the prayer that is offered. And I want to set a couple of things for you before I even start to preach tonight that I know that God has answered some prayers for me and told me not to pray for them anymore. And I didn't, and it happened. There have been times when I have been praying and God spoke to me emphatically, I mean definitely, clearly, and told me the answer is on the way. I know that. I mean, He's told me emphatically. Hallelujah. I didn't have to guess. I didn't have to doubt. He gave me the answer, and I knew it. I knew it when He gave it to me, and I didn't have to wrestle with it. There have been other times that God has given me the answer, but I knew that I had to continue to wait in the presence of God until the total victory was mine. I do not agree that every prayer you pray, you ask one time and then don't pray anymore. If you do, it doesn't show faith. That's a bunch of hogwash, and I don't care who said it. That is not scriptural. It cannot be backed up by the scripture. And a lot of good, precious babes in Christ are getting all balled up because they ask one time, and they're afraid if they ask again that they're going to offend God. That's not scripture. Amen? Now, there are times when God gives you the answer, and you don't have to wait anymore. But I want to share some scripture with you beginning in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And you take the word tonight and you follow with me. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, now Jesus was teaching the people. He wanted them to understand the truth. He wanted to tell them something. And He said, you ought to always pray and not to faint. And then He gave a parable to set forth the teaching to make it simple so they could understand. And He says, now here's a parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now let's read that from the Amplified. Just follow along there again, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Also, Jesus told them a parable to the effects that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Amen. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time he would not. But later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge, and will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in the faith on the earth? Amen. And that's the whole secret right there. That persistence, that determination, I will not be denied. Amen? Hallelujah. I refuse to be denied. Glory to God. I like those old boys that came to see Jesus. And a couple of the boys met them outside. And they began to talk to him. They said, Jesus inside in there. They said, sirs, we would see Jesus. In other words, we appreciate your hospitality, but we didn't come to see you, Peter. And John, we don't want to offend you, but we're not here really to see you. But there is a man in there we want to see. They refused to be denied. Amen? They pressed the issue. Now, I know it's a beautiful thing, and let me tell you something, honey. Nobody likes to get those prayers through when you can log them down and say, buddy, that one's answered. No one likes that any better than I do. I like to pray a prayer and just let God drop it into my heart and say, there it is. There it is. There it is. But what if Daniel would have done that? Brother Daniel prayed. He didn't get his answer. He prayed again, he didn't get an answer. He prayed again, and the angel got to him and says, Daniel, we want you to know your prayers were getting through, but we had a little problem up there, and we had to send back in to get a little help because we met the adversary. The devil tried to block the answer that was on the way, and so they had to pray again, and help came, and Daniel got his answer to his prayer. But he prayed one time, two times, three times. Now these one-time askers would have never got that one, would they? Amen? I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm just a little bit annoyed that the devil is trying to confuse a lot of babes in Christ by this business, ask one time and then don't ask anymore. Let it go. Well, honey, let me tell you something. I've been in situations where that I prayed and I didn't get the answer the first time, and I went back the second time, and I've been there bawling and squalling all night long. A few times, some answers from God. I just hung in there. I was going to forever hold back the answer. Amen? And God hears the cry of people in desperation. You don't believe that people in desperation hear from heaven? You go back in the beginning of the Bible and trace it step by step through the pages of God's Word. When God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to go to the people and lead them out of Egyptian bondage, he says, the cry of my people have come up before me. It was the cry of the people that touched the heart of God. It was the agony. It was the crying out. It was the prayer of earnest seeking God that moved and touched the hearts of God. Hallelujah. And there are times when you ask God for some things that's bigger than your faith is. And you've got to hang in there until your faith can claim it without question. And when that time comes, then you can say, I've got it. It's mine. It's there. But there's been a few times that I've had to pray, and I've had to seek the face of God, and I've had to say, Lord, you've got to help my unbelief. I know that it's mine. I know that it belongs to me. I know the answer's going to come, but I know that I've got to increase in faith, because God responds to faith. Hallelujah. We cannot buy this issue. We cannot buy this issue. That God, you ask Him one time and it comes just like that. Amen? I prayed through all my dad a many a time that God would save my daddy. Several times I prayed through and God promised me that He would save my daddy. If there was no need to pray anymore, then why did God wake me up in the wee hours of the night and tell me that my dad would be on this road somewhere at freezing weather and tell me to pray for my daddy? Amen? If there was no need to press the issue anymore, if there was no need to hang in there and to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge, then why did God wake me up? Why did God bother me? Because God responds to prayer. Prayer moves heaven. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. And if you've been praying for something and the answer hasn't come, unless you know emphatically that God spoke to you and told you that it was coming, as you I'd get on my knees again, and I'd wait there until I punctured the glory world again. And then I'd get on my knees and I'd wait there again till I punctured the glory world again. I'm going to tell you, beloved, this kind of praying is good when everything's going smooth. But honey, when your marriage is about to break up, and whenever that your finances is all on the bottom and it looks like it's about to collapse on you, or whenever you have a loved one that's about to leave this world and maybe they're not saved, or you pick up the telephone and they tell you that your daddy or mother one's got cancer, this kind of praying one time and shutting up, it won't get it, honey. So you may as well learn now that God expects His people to be persistent, hallelujah, and to stand in there and to intercede until an answer comes. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to know something. The revival you're helping to enjoy right now, I can't speak about anyone else, but I can tell you that this revival that you're enjoying now, I didn't pray one time and then shut my mouth and forget about it. 10 years ago, I shed tears for this revival. 10 years ago, I for this revival. 10 years ago, I sought. And I'd awake in the wee hours of the morning and lay there on my bed and many times get out of my bed and go pray and seek God and ask God for direction. It wasn't a one-time prayer meeting and then the answer came. I know I wasn't the only one praying, but I know what I did. Amen? If I'd asked one time, you could just write this whole crowd right in here, just write them out. Because this whole row wouldn't be here. These two wouldn't be here. Amen? These wouldn't be here. These wouldn't be here. These over here wouldn't be here. No, honey, that's not the way it's done. Amen? How can we buy this sort of thing? Now listen to me. When Jesus, God's Son, knew everything. Isn't that right? Who was the old boy? He told him, he said, well, I saw you while you're sitting on the tree over there. Andrew? Nathaniel. He said, Nathaniel, I knew you when you was on the tree. He knew everything. He could tell you what you were thinking. And yet he'd go out and spend all night in prayer. And he knew everything. Before he ordained the 12, he spent the night in prayer. It's in your Bible. Here's the one who knew everything. God in the flesh. And yet he prayed all night before he ordained the 12 and sent them out to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, you'll go back and you'll read the prayer life of some of the dear old saints of years gone by. I know we got a lot of modern conveniences, but let's don't get too modern. There's only one thing that moves the heart of God, and that's the travailing prayers of the pure in heart. Amen. That moves heaven. That touches heaven. When God begins to try to liken, listen to me very close. When God tries to liken people in prayer that's agonizing before Him, when He wanted to describe it, and I don't know anything about this because all I know is what people tell me, but I have been told average mother, when she gives birth to a child, that it's the most severe pains and hurting and tearing of the body that could be known. For those few minutes there, it's like suffering death itself. I don't know, but I've been told that by mothers. I've been told that it's an agonizing moment. And God, whenever He wants to liken the church unto a real intercessor, He says, as a mother travails in birth, so shall the saints of God travail in agonizing prayer. Does that sound like a one-time prayer meeting and then sewing up the book and saying it's all over with? Heaven, no! But it means agonizing, waiting, interceding in the presence of God until heavens move and demons are driven back and the glory of God comes down. Amen. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you've never met some of them, but I've met some stubborn demons. And you got to tell them more than once to get out of the way. Just tell them one time, they don't hear very well. You got to buckle up against them. Are you following me? There's some things you're going to need in life that all hell's going to come against you. And you're going to have to buckle up against them and be persistent and demand. And then, in the name of Jesus, let Satan leave you alone. Hallelujah. You're going to have to take authority. You're going to have to take authority. And as you walk in His name, they just move back right before you. And that's what's happening in the city of New Orleans right now. And nothing would make the devil happier than that this church would cease praying as we have been taught to pray. Amen? Nothing would make the devil happier than that we would forget to fast and agonize before Almighty God. But I got news for you, honey. We hadn't even started praying what we're going to do in the months ahead. Did you know that there's some all-night prayer meetings in the making right now when we're going to come here and burn bottle the portal of glory until the cracking of the dawn of another day, until we make every demon of the city of New Orleans tremble and shake because of the power of the living God. I know in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded, hallelujah, that through fasting and praying, we can tear down the strongholds of hell. And in the name of Jesus, we can wrestle your loved ones and your friends from the pit of hell and lead them to that rock that is higher than they. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's going to take prayer. It's going to take persistent prayer. Whoa, glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how many other people prayed for Tim Gray, but do you think the only time I've ever prayed for him was the one night he was here, the first time he came? Do you think the only time I've ever prayed for Larry Simo was the first time he came in my office? No, no, no. Don't let the devil rob you. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you what this is going to do for you. And many men who teach this, they don't mean for you to take it like you take it. Some of those men are sincere, because when God speaks and said, I heard you, the answer is coming, praise me. Then that's all you got to do. Just keep on praising him. But don't quit praising until the answer gets there. See? Just keep on praising. There are times when it's like that. But let me show you what happens. Some of you have already prayed a prayer one time, and the answer didn't come. So now then you're reasoning with yourself, and you're saying, well, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe God doesn't want me to have that. Maybe God's changed his mind. I shouldn't go this direction. You see what you're doing? You're beginning to doubt. You're beginning to question. You're beginning to let the devil undermine your faith. When I set out to pray for something, it may take me 6 months to get it, but I don't quit till the answer comes. Nothing will destroy your faith quicker than praying and receiving no answers. Amen? You say, does God answer all of your prayers? Every one of them. Some of them is no. Some of them is not now. Some of them he tells me I can answer, but you've got to get some things right in your own life. When you deal with God, God deals with you. And he works in your heart and your life. But I want you to know the God I serve is not tongue-tied, and he's not deaf either. He can hear and he can answer. And if you'll stay in there, he'll answer. You're playing with dangerous, dangerous things when you pray and do not wait to get an answer. If you have to fast, if you have to pray, if you have to weep, if you have to sob, if you have to ask him 50 million questions, just hang in there till you get an answer. Don't begin to reason with yourself and say, well, maybe it's not God's will. If it's not God's will, he can tell you it's not his will. If God wants for you, he'll tell you if you'll wait. But I don't want you stopping short of getting an answer to your prayer. Don't go running off to somebody else. Don't come running to me or running somewhere else. You ask God. Then just get in there and stay there till God answers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You say, Brother Gorman, I thought you told us that God spoke to your heart and told you to seek financing for the church. He did. I thought you told us, Brother Gorman, that you felt like this was the time we were to get financing. I do. But you know what? The devil's going to fight this thing every inch of the way. He's not going to quit. I don't care if a ball of fire hovers over that building where that man is that's supposed to review that loan and holds back every demon until that man can review that thing and say, yes, sir, Mr. Olson, they can have it. Hallelujah. Because I know somewhere there's money that God wants us to have, but the devil's going to try to block it. But greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. Greater is our God. But we must fight back the powers of hell. And we must pray. And we must intercede until the victory comes. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Do you agree with me? Oh, glory to God. This is what God wants us to do. Glory to God. I don't care if they call us a bunch of bawling people at First Assembly. I don't care if they call us a bunch of fanatics. All the thing I want to make sure we do is keep getting through. Amen? And the thing that's helped us to get through this far is a thing that's going to help us to keep getting through. Amen? So don't give up. Don't quit. Hang in there. Now, he says, when Jesus comes, is he going to find persistent faith on the earth? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you what persistent faith is. God told me, if you'll let me refer to this because I have used it before, and I'd like to take you back to it for just a moment. When we were trying to build a church on Elysian Fields, God told me where to go to get money. And I went there. I asked the man for the money to finish the building, and he said, Reverend, we cannot let you have it. We're not making loans. And I just sat right there in the name of Jesus Christ until I convinced him that I was God's man representing God's program, and I was supposed to get money, and the amount of money I needed was $40,000, and that we had no collateral except a group of men that would sign the note, and we needed it then. And I just didn't leave the office until I convinced him that's what we needed. That's persistent faith. I went there knowing. Now let me show you now. I went there knowing God sent me. When I got there, the first answer was no. But I didn't accept it. I sat there for over an hour telling him why we needed it, why they were the bank that was to let us have it, the whole thing. I convinced him. Now, I had persistent faith. When they presented it to the board of directors, the board turned it down. But God showed me the night before they turned it down on what point they was going to turn it down. So here's old persistent bulldog the next day right in there with him saying, yes, sir, they turned it down on this point, but rewrite it and send it back telling them this. Three times they sent it back, three times we sent it back. God gave us the money because I was persistent. You say, but weren't you afraid you'd be embarrassed? No, because I prayed through and God told me there was going to come, but I just had to hang in there till I got through all the debris to get it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things that God's promised to you, and you're sitting there waiting for Him to come. But you're going to get up and kick some of the stuff. Hallelujah. Kenny, anybody can sit down and say, well, now the Lord's going to come by tomorrow and heal me. Tomorrow morning, God's going to call me up and tell me that He's got me a job. God's going to call me next week and tell me that He's going to give me a new house. Tommy Rock. Persistent faith is hearing from heaven and then going out there and saying, I'm God's child and God sent me out here to get a job. Persistent. Determined. God wants me to have a new house. So I'm persistent. I hang in there. I do not refuse to back down. I may try this door and it may be shut. But there's more than one door. Amen? There's more than one avenue. Some of you have prayed for your healing. And it hasn't come as yet. You say, but I asked one time. If you're still sick, ask again. Amen? And don't come here saying, Brother Gorman, you know the last time you prayed for me, I had this symptom, I had that symptom. Well, just be honest. The last time I prayed for you, it didn't work. No need to discuss it. It just didn't work. If it worked, you wouldn't be back up here. Amen? No need to go into big detail and discourage yourself and everybody else. Just be simple and say, God, something was wrong, but I'm going to come back, and as long as I can walk down there, I'm going to that altar until I know that I need the healing, and then I'm going to accept it and claim it. Amen. You say, but Brother Gorman, God touched me, and for 3 days, Yeah, for 3 days you kept your eyes on Jesus. And then it came a little storm and you saw the waves instead of Jesus and you went under. Well, that meant your faith wasn't strong enough, so get back down here and get a new charge. That's all it amounts to. Oh, beloved, the devil can tell you so many lies. Oh, he can ball you up in so many ways. But if you're serving a heavenly Father that says to a man like Marvin Gorman, you forgive those people 7 times 70 in one day, then how many times is God going to forgive you? He never expects me to do what he would do. He never expects me to be perfect. He never expects me to do the things that he is capable of doing. So if God will do it, wants you to forgive you 7 times 70, how much more will God forgive you and God help you and God minister to you if you'll give him a chance? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this was one thing about being raised by a dad like I was. There were many disadvantages. Many. But there were some good advantages. I don't care what my daddy, what I wanted, he never told me yes the first time. Never. I don't know why, but he just didn't. So when I came to God, if I didn't get it the first go round, I just said, okay, I'll come back again. You know? Because I'd been accustomed to that. I don't care whether it was a dollar I wanted, whether it was to use the car or to use the truck or whatever it was. When I asked my daddy, I could always expect no the first time. But I always knew I was going to get it. That's right. So I'd always start a week in advance. Because the first 3 days he was certain to tell me no. That's true. Certain to tell me no. But I just keep going. Just keep going back. Amen. And when I got daddy's approval, then I'd go to mother and I'd say, Mother, daddy said I could go. If you got one on your side, then you can always put pressure on the other one. So it was a pressure game with me. And when I came to God, see, when I was seeking God when I was so sick, I prayed many, many times. But I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I didn't stop. I kept praying. And I suffered. Oh, I was going down, down, down. But you know what? I never doubted but that God was going to heal me. I never doubted that. I just didn't know when. And I kept praying, and I'd read every book that I could get a hold of. I'd look up every scripture. I'd take the scriptures on divine healing, and I'd write them out in longhand. And I would read them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And when I was at my sickest, every fiber of my body jerking and trembling with a raging fever, nothing but skin and bones. No food could stay on my stomach. Oh, my face was burning so until ice water placed on my forehead. In a few moments' time, the rag would be hot. The fever burning, burning, burning. But in the midst of that, my faith kept rising. And I looked over at my mother and said, Mother, don't give me any more medication. And if I become unconscious, just promise me that you will not let them operate on me, or that you will not let them take me and move me from where I'm at. And when she promised me that, she walked out of the room to get some more ice water. And I looked up at the ceiling and said, Dear Jesus, please heal my body. And I felt the warm flow of air go over my body. And wherever that air flowed, the fever left and the pain subsided. And I dropped off to sleep. And I've been well ever since. Amen. But I was persistent, Jimmo. I didn't quit. See, people think that you can't be persistent and have faith at the same time. You can't be persistent and have faith at the same time. Amen. Beloved, the devil's threw us a real curve. Someone said, Brother Corbin, all you got to do is pray. Just pray and seek God, and God will give the increase. That's good. Very good. But it also, let me add to it, takes about 16 hours a day of hard work. Amen? That's the reason some churches never grow. They do a lot of praying. But Paul had a funny solution to things. He says, you show me your faith without your works, but I'll show you my faith by my work. If a man's got a lot of faith, he does a lot of working. Hallelujah. He's active. And faith is action. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody comes along to me and says, Brother Corman, God's going to give me a job. And I say, well, how many applications have you put in this week? Oh, none. God's going to give it to me. I know right then, bud, they're on a wild goose chase. That's right. God's not in the business of silver platter serving. He'll bless anybody who has the faith to act. Amen? But he wants action. And when you give the action, then he'll send the answer from the other way. Amen? A lot of times I work, and nothing happens from where I'm working, but it all comes from the other way. But when I quit working, it quits happening. Amen? You believe that? You better believe it, because that's what the Bible teaches. It's like the old farmer. And I'll close in just a moment. But he had a beautiful, beautiful crop. The preacher came by and says, God has blessed you a beautiful field corn this year. He said, yeah, that's right. But you should have seen it last year when God had it by himself. God's got a lot of blessings for you, but he's going to work through you. You get the message? He's going to work through you to accomplish. Now let me share you in closing a few scriptures that's going to help your faith. Don't try to follow me. Write them down. Hallelujah. Matthew 17, 20 and 21. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, notice this, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Man, I've had that scripture thrown. Faith, all you got to do is speak the way goose chase. This kind does not happen except they're preceding and praying. You got to pray. You got to wait before God. Faith doesn't come just out of the clouds of heaven on a heart that's not prepared. It comes to the person who's prepared themselves through prayer and fasting and worshiping of God. Matthew 21 and 22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. It means a continuation of believing. It is impossible for you to keep on believing right now. That's looking into the possibilities of expanding this auditorium and looking into the feasibility of coming down the side over here with an extension on that balcony and down the side over here with an extension on this balcony. I have the faith that God's going to do it, but we must have the faith in action, and we must begin to move toward that. We can't just stop and wait. All things are possible to him that believes. But he's got to keep on believing. Hallelujah. Mark 9 and 23 says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I want to share with you my favorite verse of scripture in the entire Bible. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith it is impossible to believe. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I want you to bow your heads with me. I've shared with you tonight, it would have been much easier for me. The devil would not have fought me half as much if I would have come in here to ask, and it's going to come again. But there comes times when you have to ask more than once. There comes times when you have to be persistent. You have to be determined. I will not be. I will not. My family is not saved, and I'm not going to feel as it was a month ago. And I'm back to had power with it at night to be a praying people, a people that knows how to get a hold of God.